Good morning. Today's class is in the success of Yaakov Nekatalov, also in success in Yerushalayim Lisheva Vanoah, Gadi Yovan Lisheva, Emet Lisheva, Shefer Lisheva, Reda Makhmato Vasha, and Gadi Yovan Lisheva. Today's class is also in the healing of Heleni Orna Bat Chen Chana. May God heal her. Also in the merit of the soldiers and the merit of the hostages coming home. We're changing the LA date, so we've canceled the May event. God willing, we're still going to announce the June event in New York. And God willing, please share and rate the podcast. As we start the week of Gevurah, this is the week of Gevurah, and this is the week of that we have to start developing the discipline. We know we're in the 49 days of the Omer. Last week was Chesed, which represented kindness, which represented mercy, which represented the right hand, letting things go. This week is all about developing discipline, developing the appropriate boundaries. It's extremely important that to the extent that we develop our own self-esteem, to the degree that we have good self-esteem, that we value ourselves, we put hard work, then we put appropriate boundaries. The same way as after a workout, and after, you know, a healthy diet, have the workout, you're not going to go and all of a sudden, you know, lose the workout in a, you know, with a cheesecake. That means your boundaries are very, very poor. Or, for example, you're working on yourself with Shemirat HaBrit, et cetera, you're not going to go and all of a sudden date a girl that you know you're going to end up setting you back. So to the degree that we have healthy self-esteem, we develop healthy boundaries. And then we're able to invest more in the long term, you know, the future self, versus the, God forbid, losing the current self. So that's extremely important, because without boundaries, we go nowhere. Without boundaries, we go absolutely nowhere. Not only do we have boundaries, need to have boundaries with others, but we need to have boundaries with ourselves, which is called discipline today. So discipline is freedom. You know, God wants us to be disciplined. You know, waking up in the morning, having these rituals, it's discipline, it's Gevurah. It's allowing the light of God to be able to have the appropriate vessels. Without that, we're all over the place. You know, today, more than ever, how much discipline you need to have with the news today. I mean, I was thinking, you know, I put on my phone yesterday, and we just got out of, next thing you know, you see these campuses, you see all this. I'm like, next, let me focus on the science of cold plunges. Let me get out of this chametz. What am I watching this? At the end of the day, it's George Soros and all the garbage. And it's the same thing right before an election, the chaos, etc. But we have to have discipline not to watch the news. Very little news, unless it's really going to help you. But I don't know how much it's going to help you today. So that's also, if you know, there's so much positivity you can have, but you spend 10 minutes watching this stuff, and next thing you know, your mood is gone. So it's extremely important to discipline. This is the discipline. I don't watch this for more than 5 minutes a day. I want to get the scope of what's going on in the world, but I'm not going to be entrenched in this. So if we don't have discipline, then you could see it affects our long-term mental health. And that's today. If you see this, the resilience is something you could build. Reb Nachman says you have to protect your keter. You have to protect your mind. It's not so much depending on what you let in your life. So it's this week is really, 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 you have to think about boundaries. You have to think about, you know, boundaries. You have to think about being able to say no to people. You know, for example, if you want to be, you know, want to be successful in life, you have to be able to say no to people. You can't just be a people pleaser. That's too much chesed. It's too much kindness. You're not standing up for yourself. The same thing with Israel today. Israel has to take its stand, and that's it. This is what we're doing, and that's it. And you have to be able to stay firm. And that's what Gevurah represents. It's not bad. It's actually very good, because at the end of the day, it takes the kindness and it gives it appropriate boundaries. Chesed is more like a river, where Gevurah is more like a sea. Strong, yet at the same time, it needs the appropriate boundaries. So, for example, another area of Gevurah this week you have to think about is taking responsibility, taking accountability for things in life, not blaming others, taking the Gevurah, taking the hands, taking the leadership, etc. Another thing we recognize this week is Gevurah also represents the north, right? We know every single, you know, every south is depending on the sphera, but this sphera itself represents the north, and we know the north also represents evils in the north, gold is in the north, right? So the north represents the possibilities for riches. So this is why anger always comes through the north, but evil also comes through the north. and money comes from the north. So all of these things, so you have to recognize how important it is to have also discipline with anger, to be careful to have not to have a short fuse this week, because you will be tested. Specifically, Rav Nachman says many times that when you get tested with money, you will be tested with anger. Money and anger go hand in hand, because money is a control. We have control about money. We have fears about money. So obviously, when you lose control of money, you lose control of your security, you go crazy to overcome and to compensate more. But that's exactly what we don't need to do. We need to go the opposite direction. We need to have trust in God and let God, recognizing that everything is just coming through us, not because of us. Extremely, extremely important. It's very, very important today how you use your strength. Because if you're using your strength the wrong way, it could become egotistical. It could become self-centered. You have to use your strength as a vehicle for the divine to flow through you. Do not use your strength in order to overcompensate for a weak ego. That's where people use the strength the wrong way. We have to use the strength the right way. And that's exactly what it represents. There's a great line, there's a great quote. By the way, today's class, I'm taking two books. One book is called The Dance of the Omer, and the other one is called Hidden Treasures by Rabbi Kramer. The strength lies not in being strong, but in the right use of strength. This quote is by Henry Ward Beecher. It's how you use the strength. That means I can use this, I have strength, but if I'm using it the wrong way, it could be self-centered. If you're using strength in order to overcompensate weakness, that's not real strength. Strength, like you see today, they're using in these protests, trying to use strength, but it's really completely ignorance and brainwashing. Strength is being silent and doing your thing. Real strength. You don't like a little. If you always see that the big boats never make noise, it's the little boats that always make noise in life. You know, when you put a coin in a charity can, you know, one coin, it makes a lot of noise. But if you put a lot of coins, it doesn't make noise. So being able to know your place and being able to also stay in your own lane, that's also Gevurah. So think about that concept in your life. Think about areas in your life where are you using your strength properly or using your strength the wrong way. Very, very, very important. Because it's all about where Gevurah itself represents boundaries, and it represents a tzimtzum. So we're taking this light, but if we don't have the appropriate vessel, we can't get married. Think about, you know, even in our relationships, God wants us to have Gevurah in certain areas. You know, for example, what is Nida? Nida represents a constriction. It doesn't represent flow. It says, yes, certain days you can, certain days it's permitted, certain days it's not. Why? Because if you don't have some kind of constriction, the flow is too much and it becomes completely, it's too much of a light, and then you'll never be able to build a vessel. You know, it's the same thing as, for example, going out every night with the same person. There has to always be something to look forward to. There has to be a little secrecy. You know, there has to be, you know, on a date, you don't want to go and tell the person everything about you on the first date, because there's nothing to talk about on the second day. So the same thing as Gevurah is also restraint, but for the purpose of the long-term picture. It's not restraint because I'm mean and because I don't want you to have. No, this restraint is necessary for the longer picture. It's to build discipline for the longer, bro. It's to invest in the higher self. Versus the person that only wants flow, that only wants, you know, chesed all the time, he has no vessel for it. Unfortunately, this is exactly what happens with people in drugs. It's too much chesed. And that's where today, if you had a parent that was high expectations and no warmth, I'm sorry, high warmth and no expectations, that's way too much chesed. That's an enabler. That's way too much chesed, like what's happening in the United States a lot today. You're seeing too much enabling to drugs with anybody, you know, do what you want. There's no gevurah, there's no boundaries, there's no respect, it's gone. It's gone. And that's why you could see it. There's just too much flow of craziness. There's no restraint. So when you have restraint, that is actually the what creates and allows the water to be an appropriate vessel, otherwise it floods every single house. So think of areas in your life that I would say discipline for me is discipline with food. You have to have discipline with food. Intermediate fasting is discipline. To say, listen, I'd rather sacrifice a little bit of time, but I'm going to have a lot more energy and clarity. That's gevura. Not eating now in the morning, but eating later, but I'll lose more fat, and I'll have more clarity. You're investing in the longer day. You're investing in the day versus a person that's, all I want is, give me, I'm hungry, give it to me now. It's too much impulsivity. We already gave the motivation equation the other day, right? Your confidence and expectancy is what drives us. But what takes away our goals is delay and impulsivity. So you could see today, the impulsivity is gevura, is ability to try to get rid of the impulsivity. You know, this is why I like, you know, breathing, Wim Hof breathing, cold plunging. All these things that are very good because they build mental willpower. They build. You sit in 40 degrees for, you know, 5 minutes. You want to get out. You sit and you develop the discipline. And then all of a sudden that carries on in other areas of your life. It usually carries on in other areas. If I could do this, I could do this also. If I could do that, I could do that also. You know, it's almost very similar to what we throw a kid in a pool. Is because we want him one time to get, you know, to get the fear out. And once he's at the fear's out, he can handle it. So the same thing with our lives, we have to be able to approach challenges because at the end of the day, it will develop a lot of this discipline that we all need. Discipline is very Scorpio energy, by the way. It's discipline. They love discipline. They're all into discipline. Another thing where Reb Nachman says is thought control. You cannot control events, but you can control the meaning of events. So Reb Nachman tells us it's extremely important. Focus on where your mind is. Focus on the meaning that you're giving to something. Right? We cannot have two thoughts at the same time. Reb Nachman says it's impossible to have two thoughts at the same time. And he also says in lesson 35, he says, when a person admits unholy thoughts in his mind or garbage in his mind, the holiness in his mind is reduced in direct proportion to the space occupied by these thoughts. So think about that. Imagine you have like 100% capacity and you just, you know, watch some garbage. All of a sudden your ability to have positive thoughts is like 25%. So you're already, you know, it's not like I can just get rid of the negativity. The negativity is going to be there. Now I could only hit my potential for positivity is much less. So you could see sometimes when you meet negative people, even if they have a little positivity, they can't even handle it. You know? They walk into a dark room and they get developed. It's just they can't handle anything positive because of this concept. This is the whole concept of Passover. Passover is about the cleaning out, get rid of the chametz in your head, in your everywhere. Get rid of it. And Reb Nachman, it's funny how Reb Nachman has a beautiful Torah that you're only responsible for your chametz. You're not responsible for the other person's chametz. That means another person could walk into your house and eat a sandwich without a problem, because that's his problem, not your problem. So we also have to have the discipline to recognize just because that person has a problem doesn't mean it's about me all the time. Having the gevura to say this is a boundary. You want to act like an animal? I'll make a cage for you. But that doesn't mean I'm always going to be affected by your negativity. So that's also that's a boundary. That means there's people that you have to meet. There's people in your family that they just cross boundaries. But a boundary basically tells the person, this is what I'm going to do if you act like this. It's not telling them to do less. It's I'm going to do this. So you're now in control versus always, you know, if we always say, you know, we're always getting attacked by that person. We're always doing that. You have to put a boundary. If you don't put a boundary, you will be burnt out. So Reb Nachman says, when a person admits, when he has unholy thoughts in his mind, when a person has, unfortunately, this negativity, it's reduced his brain. It's reduced in direct proportion to the space occupied by these thoughts. If you stick a pole in a riverbed, all kinds of dirt and filth and gather around it the same way. All kinds of bad characteristics develop because of these unholy ideas, and the mind is assailed by these desires and temptations. The fact, this is why it's extremely important, Reb Nachman says, to be careful to stay away from any form of philosophy. There's certain things, even the Rambam's book, the Guide of Reflex, Reb Nachman was extremely against it. He says, don't read it. Don't read it. Because when you start thinking of these ideas, these that unfortunately it affects your life is nothing but a question. All you have is questions. You have zero answers to anything. Why? Because you won't humble yourself. See, it's the opposite in life. That when we have silence and humility, then we get answers. If we think we know it all, then all we have is questions in our lives, and etc. And he says you have to be very, very careful today more than ever. Because today, I mean, he's saying this, you know, you say this today more than ever. He's reading this. He says, because nowadays, there's so much immorality and there's so much, God forbid, atheism in the world that you can, even anywhere you go, it's like you're living in a different world. And there's going to, Reb Nachman says, before the time of Mashiach, there will be so much immorality and atheism that it will be like a flood. That for you to stay sane in this world, you will have to create your own teva, your own ark. And that's exactly what's happening today. Imagine, God forbid, a student at these at these colleges, all of a sudden they want to go to school and they see this stuff. I mean, how could you not get affected by it? How could you not get affected? So this is where you could see today how important it is to be careful to not allow the wrong ideas into your head. Our sages tell us this is that your first thought that you think about is in the morning is the one that stays with you the whole day. The first thought that you have in the morning is the one that stays with you the whole day. So this is why we want to wake up in the morning and think about waking up in the morning with positivity, waking in the morning with gratitude, waking up in the morning learning something. Right away, you want to be the one making the day happen, not letting that negativity throughout the day. And I see the difference when I wake up and I have my morning rituals, my whole day is differently. Because these are the thoughts that I go with. Imagine waking up in the morning and you have your phone for 45 minutes and you're watching all of this garbage. How in the world can you sit there and pretend I'm going to be normal today, I'm going to be calm today? You're building all that anxiety, the uncertainty. Next thing you know, all you're getting is triggered the whole day. This is exactly what Reb Nachman says. Before the coming of Mashiach, Reb Nachman explains that the world will be flooded with atheism and immorality. This flood will come to such a strength that even affect the virtuous hearts. And no one will be able to fight with this with any form of sophistication. All the royal ministers, the leaders will be scattered and the entire kingdom will not even stand on its foundations. Only one who are able to serve God with simple faith will be able to make it. So that's exactly what you need to do. You need to have simple faith. Everything can change in a blink of an eye. And most importantly, stay focused on where you need to be. Because today, to stay focused is harder than ever before. Another form of gevura that we have to work on is anger and jealousy. What's the difference between anger and jealousy? Anger is short term. Jealousy is long term. And this is, again, anger and jealousy is both are a blemish of what? Of faith. Because at the end of the day, if God wants to bless a certain individual, you have no idea what his past lifetime it looks like. You have no idea. Maybe he was poor in a past lifetime, and he comes back into this world as rich. It's not your business to recognize why people have wealth or why people don't have wealth. Moshe Rabbeinu had that question, and he didn't get the answer. So it's extremely important. You stay in your lane. We have zero idea. Sometimes people are successful because their parents were very big tzaddikim, and the kids merited it. By just because they did certain mitzvot. There's so many answers to why things happen. And it's not our job to question God. It's not, because what you're doing is when you're doing that, it's you're creating judgment. So now you're, and what happens is when you have an evil eye on a person, all of a sudden you're opening up the books for the person. So your judgment is causing God to judge. And all of a sudden what happens, it's just everybody gets harmed. So that's why it's very, very important. If you see people that are successful, be happy for them and either celebrate them or ask them for help. But anything else than that, all you're doing is creating judgment, etc. And this is where we lack sometimes. We see people doing good and we lack the appropriate boundaries to say, you know what? God bless that person. Why do I have to be jealous? And this is where jealousy, this is why our sages tell us that When you get mehayem etim, when a person has a resurrection of the dead, his bones will rot. Because the bone that holds you is the bone that's loose. So jealousy causes a person's bones to rot. Causes his no vitality. So that's another thing. Is again, stay focused. And you could see, again, people have this, people have that. That is not your business. You don't know any lifestyle. You don't know what Gilgulim the guy has to go through. You have absolutely no idea. But that's our job in this world. So again, Gevura, boundaries, discipline, focus on the long term. Focus on shutting your mouth. The key to shalom bayit is always, right? The same problem. And it starts, they say diet and shalom bayit has two issues, right? They both have the issue with the mouth. Create appropriate boundaries, and most importantly, think about long term. This is why it's extreme. I always love doing physical activity, like working out and all that, because you're showing that you could do another rep. You could do an extra. So sometimes the body will have to elevate the soul. It's very hard, I would say today, to see this unless you see it physically. So just like, again, even doing a cold plunge, even do anything, just get areas in your life where you can have discipline in. And what happens is that discipline will spill over somewhere else. It always happens that way. But unfortunately, when there's no discipline here, there's no discipline here, and there's no discipline here, and there's no discipline here, and then your life is a mess. So that's where we have to start creating. And even if there's not, we always think that we always have to fix that particular area. Sometimes you have to fix other areas of your life and then go back to that area when you're much stronger. We don't always have to fix every single area. Sometimes you have to build around it. And when you build around it, you go back. And just like a knee, for example, the person has a knee problem. They don't tell them fix it. They tell them build your quads, build other areas of your knee, build other areas, build your legs. And then, or for example, you have a bad back. They'll tell you build your abs. Then, once you're stronger, build your shoulders, strain your postures. Then you'll deal with your back. We don't always think. We think, oh, I have to fix this right now. That's not true at all. That's exactly the evil inclination to tell you, this is what you have to fix right now. Sometimes you have to fix other things. Build or strengthen around it. And then when you fix around it, eventually, you'll be able to deal with that. Because remember, we cannot, very hard to fix things when we have a very, very weak mind. So again, work on this week, also discipline also with his bodidut. Talking to God is, you know, sometimes you have to sit there and you have to be disciplined and you have to tell God, I'm not moving until you open up my mouth. So that's using gevura also, using strength, your strength to say, God, I know I'm not feeling anything. I'm not moving here until I feel a feeling. And if you have that stubbornness, you will get your prayers answered. Prayer also requires a lot of discipline. Sitting there, being awkward, waiting for the moment, having patience. All of this is what we need. Because remember, if you were just had so much chesed, and every day you would be enlightened, you would not know the difference between a good prayer and a bad prayer. You would never feel a broken heart. You would never. So all of this has to happen. And this is exactly why the kalim, the vessels itself, the hard work is what's actually creating and expounding the vessels. Vessels are being expounded in gevura. They're not being expounded in chesed. Chesed flows to gevura. Chesed ends up going to the gevura, but gevura is what expands our vessels. Your boundaries is what makes your relationships, not your relationships. You understand? You have relationships with no boundaries? Forget it. Your boundaries is what creates healthy long-term relationships. Otherwise, if we have no boundaries, all we have is short-term highs and next thing you know, they go nowhere. So, B'ezrat Hashem, may God help us all. And we should merit healthy boundaries, and we should merit to use Gevura the right way. Have a good day.